Good morning. Is it still morning? No, it's afternoon. That's Christmas for you. Wow. I promised myself after the first service that I wasn't going to cry all the way through this service. And that promise is not going to be fulfilled. I'm just letting you know. Because we're going to start off by talking about how much God loves you. And that it's a pretty weighty subject. And this past Wednesday at Youth, our beautiful worship leader, Brittany, and Youth, sang the song, Jesus, We Love You. And we got to the part where it said, oh, how we love you, you're the one our hearts adore. And as we started to sing that, I heard Jesus say, like, do you know that I have sang that over you before that song even existed, before you sang it to me? That has been my singing over you. Oh, how I love you. And I just became undone. Because especially in this season of just getting things done and wanting to just, man, I just want to be excellent for you, Jesus. I just want to give you my all. And Jesus is like, that's great, but I just want you. And I just want to throw that out there that when you start to contemplate the love of God, it's kind of undoing. And if you do it for a long time, it starts to undo your whole life. And I just want to encourage you that when we focus on the depths of God's love, man, it kind of just puts things into perspective. When you start to hold your financial issues, or maybe it's relationships or whatever it is, it's just, man, when you look into the depths of God's love, it just kind of brings things into this, man, it doesn't matter in comparison to God's love. And the more that I go through and I stare into the face of God's love, the more I get to the same conclusion that humanity is blessed. And sometimes it's really hard to see that, whatever you're going through. Sometimes, man, I don't feel like I'm blessed, right? But the truth of the matter is that you are, that we are as humanity. And you can even look in Genesis right after he creates male and female. Literally in the first chapter of the Bible, in the verse 28, right after he says, hey, we created male and female. And then it says, God blessed them. It's the first thing he did was bless humanity. And we look into that scripture and we see that that blessing is multiplication. He's like, hey, go multiply. Hey, here's the land. I mean, here's all of these things for you. And it's just this amazing world that he created for us without lack, which is undoing. There was no lack in communion with him. There was no lack in being hungry for food. There was no lack for companionship. There was no lack for beauty. I mean, I share this because, man, I grew up in Oklahoma, and I don't know if you have been there, but it's flat. Eric and Candace and I went to a wedding there, and he was, you can see for miles. And I'm like, I know. And then I had the beauty of living in Redding for a couple of years. And if you've ever been, there's mountains. It's glorious. In my backyard in Redding, there was a palm tree and a mountain that I could see. I mean, what better world is there? And there's this part in Redding where there's a highway that goes into downtown. And man, the first snow hits and there's this mountain that you see as you go over this hill, and you're just like, oh my gosh, the beauty. That's when I say that God created us without lack in the beauty, because you just have to look around at the world and see that it was what he gave us was so beautiful and so vast that everything points to him. Man. So God created us without lack. He gave us everything he needed. The very earth that we are walking around was a gift. Your communion with Jesus is a gift. Think about this. Do you see this pattern? It was a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to be born. Just want you to know that. You didn't work your way up to being like, yes, I want to create you. No, Jesus created you out of his love for you. And that's what's crazy to me, because if he loved us first, that means that the love of God, man, it is not an earthly love like you and I think of love. This love that we read about in the Bible, it transcends time and space, and there is nothing like it. Oh, man. And out of that love, he gave us life. I love this because when you think about it, even creation itself is an expression of God's generous love. And then in all of this generosity and love being formed, gratitude and grace, was birthed. Now, I just want to be really open with you. God has had me on this journey of gratitude this year. And if you've ever been on that journey, you know what a beautiful, hard year 2024 was. You know it, right? When God's trying to get to you and be like, hey, here's some hard things for you to go through. I guess I'm going to show you what gratitude means. It's a fun journey. But in that journey, man, God has been blowing my mind, and I want to share a couple of things with you. And the first thing that I love was when you look up the word in the English, just want to point that out. I'm not going Hebrew on you yet, okay? When you look up the word in English, gratitude and grace have the same root word. They come from the same place. And you know what the meaning of those two words are? Are you ready? I'm excited. Pleasing quality. I kind of want that. Favor and thanks. And then if you do go into the Bible and look up grace, guess what the definition is? Favor. It's pretty crazy. Because I want to point something out. Gratitude and grace both produce favor. The only difference is one requires action from me and one is a gift. There's a guy by the name of Robert Emmons, and he's a professor of psychology from the University of California, and his whole career was to study gratitude. And this is how he defined it. Are you ready? Gratitude as the recognition that life owes me nothing, and that all the good I have is a gift. Ooh. It is a response to all that has been given. A response, an action that occurs, seeing your life differently. And then we go to grace, and we see that grace is a freely given blessing, often seen as a divine favor that is not earned. Can you highlight that for a second? It is not earned, which often inspires gratitude for the grace given. It's this beautiful cycle, because I'm given the gift, which is birthed out of God's love for me that I didn't earn, which then inspires me to be filled with gratitude for the gift, which I don't know about you, but if you stare into the face of God's love, I don't know how you're not inspired. And then that cycle brings you into the favor the goodness of God. And it just keeps going into this cycle until our focus shifts and we stop looking at the gift and we just shift one over. And we stop looking at the gift. Nothing changes except for where I'm looking. And then, because I shift my focus, I go from gratitude to lack. Just by shifting my focus just a millimeter away from the gift. Man. When I look at the gift of God's love or connection, even when I'm going through hard things, I'm still walking in the pleasing quality of life or favor. And because I can be walking, I just want to throw this out to you. I could be walking through the valley of death. And if I don't keep my eyes on the gift, then all of a sudden I start to figure, why am I here? Woe is me. Who do I have to blame for me being in the valley? Because it certainly wasn't my decisions. Maybe it's the people leading me. I don't know. I would love to blame anybody else. But the second that I shift my eyes back into the gift, then all of a sudden, the valley of death becomes a training ground. And then what I quote, it says, your rod and your staff comfort me. Do you see the difference? Woe is me to, oh my gosh, God, thank you for this journey. Thank you for taking me down the valley of death because now I know how to walk it and trust you. Taking my eyes off the gift can be as simple as just forgetting what the goodness of God looks like in my life. Yeah, thank you. I love that. We're going. We're family here. Taking my eyes off the depth of his love for me. Man, because when we do that, when we take our eyes off of love, that's the second that we step into lack. Because there is no lack in God's love. Wow. So going back for this brief time frame before the fall, humanity was complete, walking in this free gift, and we had this amazing, great life. We're communing with others. Come on, we are lacking nothing. And then the shift takes place. And our focus changes from not having enough. Scarcity starts to grow inside of us. And the second we step into that mindset of not enough, we begin to self-preserve and take things into our own hands and try to be God. And I just want to tell you from personal experience, that will be the hardest path that you will ever take. When you start taking the path and you're like, I don't trust you, God. And you're like, hey, I got this. I'm just going to tell you there's going to be some bumps. Yes? It's a fun place. I've been there multiple times. And to be honest, if we could really strip back that mindset of lack, it really is stripping back and saying, God, I actually don't trust you. I don't think you're enough. Or I actually don't think this love that I read about actually covers me. And then you go into this works mode and you're like, I actually think that if I don't work hard enough, I might step out of the gift that you've given me. So we go into this picking this up and having to do it on my own. Wow. And we see this in Eve's response. I love this. She's hanging out in this beautiful world with God. And then all of a sudden, this serpent comes up and asks her a question and says, hey, did God really tell you that you couldn't eat from that tree? But I love it because the first response is that she's still looking at the gift and she looks around and says, well, yeah, actually he did say that because look at all these trees he's given us to eat from. And I'm like, yeah, go Eve. You're still looking at the gift. Tell that snake to go away, right? But then by the end of the conversation, something shifts. And she starts to not look at everything that God's given her, and she starts to look at the one thing that she doesn't have. And she steps into that lack mindset. And then she starts looking at it, and she says, ooh, yeah, that looks pretty good for food. And she goes, man, maybe one of these days all these other trees aren't going to grow fruit, so I should definitely eat from that fruit tree. That makes sense, because I might be hungry, and God doesn't want me to be hungry. And then she starts looking at the tree and says, wow, that's beautiful. God creates beautiful things, so it must be from God. And then my favorite one, the last one, is she says, wow, it's going to bring me wisdom. And this is where I relate the most, because she's like, hey, I need to grow in that. Yeah, me too. Right? Those are all good things. But out of the lack mindset, she now justifies doing something that God said not to do. Self-preservation from the place of not enough often allows us to make excuses to not do the hard things. And it starts to break down trust and then starts us down this journey of what looks good must be God. But that's not always the case, right? What I think is good for me is not always what is actually good for me. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I've prayed for things and I'm like, God, where are you? Where are you? And if you would have given me that thing, then it would have sent me down a really horrible path. And then I'm like, wow, thank you, God, for having that bird's eye view of my life and making the decision and not letting me go down that path. Wow. So we see this wonderful pattern in humanity. From literally this point forward in the garden, all the way through, we start to see this struggle of, is God enough or is he not? And my favorite example, because it makes me feel so good, is looking at the Israelites. Okay? And I'm telling you this because when you look at the Israelites, man, just the very fact that they've been enslaved and they are, man, they are in just this crazy life. And God says, hey, I'm going to get you out. And they get to see miracle after miracle after miracle before they even step out of that land. And then they get into the desert and they start to see more miracles that if we saw today, oh, man, might scare us. I mean, they were led by the pillar of fire. They ate manna, which is called the angel food. I love this. I think angel food is tacos for me. I'm just saying. But they watch a river be completely opened as they walk on dry land, turn around and see the army that's coming after them get devoured by the very river that they walked in. And I would like to think, because I'm so much better than them, that if I would have seen all of those things, that I would not question whether God was good enough or if he would meet my needs. Because we look at their lives and it seems like the very second that they're alone or the very second that they have to wait on anything, they start to complain and they start to take things into their own hands. Yes. But can I just be completely honest going down this path of generosity this year? I do that all the time. Probably more than I would care to admit. I don't know if you know this because I dye my hair so many times. It's kind of a funny joke here in studio. And I was born a redhead. Yes, I know. It's crazy. So anytime I see the redhead kids, I'm like, yeah, go redheads. Anyways, if you can imagine, all of those fun things about redheads being stubborn was so true in my life. You can ask my parents. I was one of the most stubborn kids ever. But listen, I just recently found out that science is backing that, might I add. Thank you. Yes, you're nodding your head. They found out that we're kind of like mutants. Yes? I like this. Maybe that's what's in the UFOs. It's a bunch of redheads. Dun, dun. Okay, sorry. Bad joke. Too soon. Okay. Too soon. Scratch that off. We don't believe in UFOs. Okay. All that being said, they said that redheads don't feel pain the same way that everybody else does. We actually have a higher pain tolerance. And it actually takes us more anesthesia to go under. Yes, right? Am I true? Yes. Because it doesn't work on us as well. Scary, fun fact. Yes. All that being said is that as a redhead and just being really stubborn, man, if something happens in my life where somebody drops the ball, I'm like, oh, I got this. And then I'm like, oh, this is happening in my life. It's okay. I got this too. And I will work until my fingers are bloody to make sure that nothing drops. That's me. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, except when it comes out of a place of lack. And I'm doing it because I don't trust God. So that's when I have to step back and I have to say, oh, God, I trust you. And that's the problem, though, because it's a hard subject when our viewpoint of what is good is skewed. Because to what benefits me is good, and what is hard for me is bad. Instead of the way that we were created, which is, do you trust or do you not trust in the God that gave you everything? Don't sugarcoat it. Can I still be filled with gratitude even when I'm walking out here in the desert land? It's really interesting when you're in that space because sometimes you look at back where you came from and you're like, man, I just wish I could go back to that. Because it looks better than where God has me. Doesn't matter that I was maybe like the Israelites and enslaved, or that God told me to leave, but this space is uncomfortable. So please take me back to this. Because I don't want to go through the process because I'm looking at my life now in lack instead of the gift. So, despite that this is our journey as humanity, and we see it time and time again, where we get out of alignment with the gift that he gave us, what does he do? He decides to give us another gift. And this gift is so costly. And I have to ask myself this question every time is, why would you send another gift to humans that have seen your goodness over and over and over again and still say we don't trust you? Why would you send a gift? But he does. He sends us this gift, but this time, this is the most costly gift that you're ever going to receive in your life. And not only is it the most costly gift, but it becomes the light to our path and an example of what it's supposed to look like when we walk in the completion and gratitude. Because that's where Jesus walked. He walked in the enough. How do I know that? Because you can't love your enemies and walk in lack. You can't go on a 40-day fast and get tempted by the devil and say no if you're walking in lack. You can't carry the cross if you are in lack. Guys, this prayer, this is undoing. He prayed to his Father in heaven, tears of blood, and he says, Father, it is you. If this is your will, take the cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You can't walk in lack and say that statement. And when I say lack, I'm not talking about that you're not going to go through hard things, guys. I'm not. We're going to go through hard things. But I'm talking about being connected to the Heavenly Father the way Jesus showed us, in such a way that when I experience hard things, I don't instantly run to the lacking mindset or where are you, God? But I lean into the gift that Jesus bled for, to restore my connection with him. Man. When I change my perspective and walk in gratitude instead of lack, I can go through hard things and still call God good. I don't know if I could have told you that at the beginning of this year. We often preach, man, that like the favor of the Lord, man, just accept Jesus and all is going to be great. No, but when we look into his love, it makes it easier to walk through the journey because I know he's given me everything to do it. The last thing, and then we'll pray. There are two times that are significant where God said it was finished. The first one was after he created the entire world and humanity. And we see in chapter 2, it says it was finished. And the second time was when he's on the cross, dying for our sins. And he says, it is finished. It's the same word in English, different words in Hebrew, but very significant meanings, and I want to read them to you. The word finish used in Genesis has the meaning to be complete, at the end, finished, and accomplished. But the word finished used in John has the meaning I end, I fulfill, I accomplish, I pay, I conclude, I execute. The first gift given to us was from a place of dreaming and creating out of hope. And then the next gift was given out of payment and sacrifice. Both gifts from God with the purpose to bind himself with humanity. But the gift of Jesus was to restore us back to that instant connection. Because when we're connected with someone, we know their heartbeat. We know who they are. We know their desires. And we build trust. That's the difference. Is that when I get close to him and now I have access because he bled for me, I actually have access to be close to him so that when I go through that struggle, which I will, of God, are you enough? I can remember and go back to him because I'm connected and I know his voice and I know what he's done for me and I can say, yes, he is, and I can stand. Guys, this connection was his life. It cost him something. And in return, that connection is going to have to cost you something. When we go through hard times, you're going to have to die. I'm just letting you know. When it doesn't make sense, and you want to start blaming everything, and you want to say, God, where are you? You're going to have to die. There's a scripture I want to read. It's 1 John 4, 9 through 10. And it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Dang. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is always calling us closer. So my prayer is that we look at this gift of Jesus and we count the cost. what was so important that God gave us two gifts. One, the gift of life, and two, the gift of his son. What was so important for him to do that? It was you. It was connection with you. And if we can keep our eyes focused on that, then everything else just kind of falls at the wayside. Because I don't know a love that has no bounds like that. And in that love, I don't lack. You didn't ask for it. You can't earn it. It was a gift. So, let's be a family that does hard things to walk closer to him. And let it be our goal every day to set our eyes on the gift and walk in gratitude and abundance and not lack and scarcity. I know that it says that we do it a lot. We say we can give our lives to Jesus. But the question he's been asking me is, can you give me your trust? That's hard as a mom. Can I trust you? That's hard. Man, even as a single, can I trust you? I'm going to have we're going to do things different. We're going to have the worship team. I asked the team to come up. And we're going to sing this song, Jesus, I Love You. Can we stand? And we're going to open up the front for a space to just connect with God. Because I'm going to be honest, as God's been taking me on this journey, there's been a lot of repentance and having to die and say, hey, God, I'm so sorry that I took my eyes off the gift. I'm so sorry I've taken my eyes off of your love. And so before we go into any more of Christmas, let's stop and let's realign ourselves with him. So if that's you, I just want you to come down. This place is for you. And let's just focus on him. And let's end this day with that. Yeah? Okay. Let's go, team.